So we read yesterday that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this generation can't do it. They're the ones who can't go to Eretz Yisrael for whatever reason. They lack the fortitude. And Moshe then tells the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said they're going to spend 40 years in the desert, and ostensibly at this stage in the game, only Yehoshua and Kalev of their generation are going to be the men between the ages of 20 to 60 who are going to Eretz Yisrael. The Torah then records the reaction. They got up in the morning, and they went up on the mountain top, saying, "Hineini, we're ready, Alina, we're ready to go up, Elamakon, to the place, Asher Hashem. We're going to go now to Eretz Yisrael, Kichakanu, because we have sinned. We get it. We understand that we did an Avera, and we want to basically undo it by going up there now." The people were devastated. They felt true remorse, understood the mistake they had made. But Moshe said, "You missed the boat. It's too late. And if you're going to go and try to battle those who live in Canaan, you're going to get defeated." Hashem said, "I don't want them going up. And if they do, again, they're going to end up with the wrong result. They're going to be defeated." Vayomer Moshe. Moshe said to them, "Lama atem Ovrim, Espi Hashem, who Tiflach. Why are you again transgressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word? You will have no success. Al Ta'alu, don't go up there. Ein Hashem Bekir Bethem. God is no longer among you if you fight. Loi Signafnu Lifnei Oyveichem. So that you will not be beaten down by your enemies." And the Torah records that the people didn't listen, and they decided they're going up anyway. And as the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, they were badly beaten. He says, "Rav Avigdor Nebetzel asked the question, Bnei Yisrael made a bad mistake. Here, though, it seems like they're expressing true remorse. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva says there's three elements of tshuva. The first is vidui. One has to confess the wrongdoing. And the people said, chatan, we sinned. The second is charata, regret. And it says in Pasuk 39. They mourned. The people, right, did regret. And the third is not to resolve to commit the sin in future. The people have thought that by going ahead and going, right, they would avoid having to deal with making the same error in the future." He says, "These people are called Mapilin because they got beaten down. Why was this not considered tshuva? Why was Moshe angry at them? Should Moshe have not had, you would say, a realization that they were doing tshuva?" And he says, "Where else in Tanakh, if we look through the unfortunate times when Jews made an issue, did wrong, where else do we see such instantaneous truth? Rav Nebetzel says, you know what? This is not tshuva. As a matter of fact, they repeated the same action again that they had done. Unkelis translate or interprets the word ya'apilu, from where the word mapilin is derived. They acted wickedly. Why, if Nebuchadnezzar asks, are the actions they took to try to now conquer Eretz Yisroel wrong? Nebuchadnezzar says, we've got to understand what the concept of tshuva shleima, perfect tshuva, is. Rav Nebetzel says, tshuva doesn't mean scrubbing the surface of a sin to clean it up. Rather, you go to the root. You find out what was the problem, what was the motivation, and you work on getting rid of that which caused you to act improperly. What was the root sin of the spies? Bnei Yisroel believed the spies. They believed in a power outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. They felt that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something, there are other forces that can defeat the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. When Moshe told the Jewish people, don't even try to conquer Eretz Yisroel now, because Hashem does not want that and would not be with them, they ignored this advice. What was the sin of these people? Yes, we could say on the surface, accepting the words of the scouts was wrong. But the core issue was believing there is a power outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which can thwart HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. These Mapilim, after listening to Moshe, still believe they could make a decision and act without dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stated comments. At first, in notwithstanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised the Jewish people would be completely victorious and successful in conquering Eretz Yisroel, and that it was the perfect land, the land flowing with milk and honey, they determined, we don't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, but we don't know. And therefore, the ensuing saga with the scouts and the punishment occurred. Now again, they get a commandment. They get instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe that they're not to attempt to conquer Eretz Yisroel. And once again, it's we know better. This is not tshuva. They again ignore what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them specifically. And that is why this is considered another Avera, and why they were beaten so severely. Klal Yisrael has a responsibility to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. We do not have the right to make decisions and take actions that we know are definitely against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded. You cannot act in, quote, the name of Torah by violating rules of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't go. And if they really were doing tshuva, they would have said, ah, we know we cannot go and we won't go. He said, so this concept that they were trying to do tshuva means they missed the mark. Because again, they got into trouble following their own volitions, and now they were doing it again. After the incident where they're beaten, and I would say the Jewish people realize they're staying in the desert for 38 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to assure the people that after 38 years, yes, you're going in and you're going to take the land. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to teach the people mitzvot that are only applicable upon entering and living in Eretz Yisrael. These include many of the required gifts and the miser, the tithe, given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Including the mitzvah of Hafrashat Salah, the portion of the dough that was required to be given to the Kohanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you come to the land, which I am going to bring you into, you are going to begin the harvest, the wheat, you're going to make bread, and when you do that, you're required to give a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When someone baked bread, and presumably they didn't have commercial bakeries at that time, they were obligated to give a portion of the dough to the Kohen. We know that with a certain amount of flour today, we still tell women, especially if they make a lot of challah, to give this challah gift. But because of our status of being tameh, we burn it. He says, Rabbi Rosner, there are many mitzvos that are mitzvot tluyot ba'aretz, mitzvot that apply only upon being in Eretz Yisrael. But he says, the actual text, the language, which talks about the mitzvah of the challah is unique. Rashi points out, with the other mitzvot that apply in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah starts with Kisivo El Ha'oretz, when you come to the land. Whereas, when it comes to Challah, it says, Bevo Achem El Ha'oretz, upon your coming to the land. He says, based on the wording, we understand that the requirement to separate challah begins from the very first moment the Jewish people stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. The other mitzvot only became applicable after conquering and settling and dividing the land. What's the difference between challah and maaseroth, bikurim, and everything else? Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting explanation. The mitzvah of Truma and Maaser occurs after the fruits and produce are ripe, are ready to be eaten and enjoyed. Then I give a required percentage of what is now consumable. Challah occurs much earlier in the process. The challah obligation occurs as soon as the flour becomes dough. Once the water mixes with flour, I now have the mitzvah challah. I don't have a finished product, but the mitzvah applies. What is the message in this? Rav Moshe says, it's as if I'm saying to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I do not know how much bread I will be left with. I don't even know if my baking is going to be successful. Is it possible? I will burn it. But I'm giving challah right now. The mitzvah challah teaches that there are times when we cannot wait to see what happens. Right? We can't say what I will set aside depends on the end result I achieve. For whatever reason, we give challah at the very start of the exercise, before we know what we're going to get. He says that is why challah became a mitzvah upon entering Eretz Yisrael, before any settlement thereof. Again, this is the beginning of a process. Until they came into Eretz Yisrael, until the day before, months fell every day. Now, on the very first day that they have a necessity to create their own bread, right? They are being told, offer your appreciation ASAP, immediately. And like Rosler said, it's similar to the Dayenu song that we sing at the Seder. Just the very ability to be able to start to produce our own bread is sufficient to offer thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me the raw materials with which I can make bread. And he says that is why there are special skulot and special brachas upon taking challah. Challah teaches that we are required to be, I guess, really aware and know at the beginning of a process, right, that the fact that we came ad kan to this point is the blessing. Notwithstanding that the final result is unknown to us, and we have no idea what we're going to have at the end. The next thing that the Parsha talks about is the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the Rebbe was showing us last week. And Lehrfeld pointed out to us last week that when you look at the corner of the tzitzis that we have, there are some that have double holes and some only have one hole. And he said, what we're supposed to do is make sure that the strings go straight down. In other words, they go right down to the floor, and that you don't let them first. The loop should not fly up on the side of the corner. He says that's not the mitzvah. And therefore, he says, the individuals who double up their tzitzis, it somehow precludes the actual string from being able to get onto the side. This was something I truly didn't know. And the next essay is too long to accomplish in the next 4 to 5 minutes, so I'm going to close off now. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.